How many of us want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and to be able to live in resurrection power? In fact, I've entitled this sermon, Live in Resurrection. Live in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Live in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Now let's open the Word of God. And let's go to Philippians chapter 3. And let's begin. Let's begin reading now that everybody's raised their hands. Let's begin reading, I think, in verse 10. Paul here writes in Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ. He wanted to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. How many want resurrection power? Can I get an amen? I don't hear you. Can I hear an amen? Oh, hear through the wires of the electronics. I'm hearing a lot of amens. I want to know Christ. Yes, and to know the power of his resurrection. Amen. Everybody can say amen on that, right? Amen. Now listen to this. Are you ready for this, as they say? And participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. You raised your hand earlier, right? I raised my hand. I saw some of you online raising hands in the chat room and all of that, that you want to know Christ, right? And the power of his resurrection. But what about this other sentence? And participation in the sufferings. Are you ready to suffer? Are you ready to hurt? Well, nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to hurt. But if you want to become like him, the scripture says, let's read it again. I want to know Christ, yes, and to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Are you willing and wanting and desiring, if God so will it, to die in the proclamation of the gospel, to share the good news with others, becoming like him in his death? Do you understand? Do I understand? Do we understand the magnitude of what God is offering, and the way to it is through suffering and death? In fact, my point of this message, we know the title, How to Live in Resurrection Power of Christ. Here's how to. Here's the point. Live in the resurrection power of Christ by sharing in his sufferings and sharing in his death. See, I think that the Church of God worldwide in all nations, and especially in these United States, aren't willing to live in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Willing to suffer as Jesus suffered, and participate in his sufferings and becoming like him in his death. But if you go to Asian countries, you go to the Middle East and certain places outside of America, we have people who are not only willing, but who are suffering and dying to be conformed to the image of Christ. But we are spoiled in America. I mean, if I get a nail, not in my hand, but a nail right there, one of my nails is kind of bothering me, I start crying about it. Not literally, but you know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, okay? I don't think I've cried over a hangnail yet. Have a baby? She's looking at me. And she said, maybe. We're spoiled. I think we are into this health wealth culture. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to be sick. I didn't want my wife sick, suffering for these last several weeks. But she trusted in the Lord and did it. I don't want to die. But Jesus died. He suffered and died. See, to me, that is what Christianity is all about. Let me read something to you. I know we celebrated Good Friday and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but do we live daily in the resurrection power of Christ, knowing that to be filled with that resurrection power of Jesus Christ, it takes suffering. It takes, if necessary, death. Are you willing to die? Are you willing to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ? When I say you, I'm including myself today. Is this for real or not? Do I mean what I say when I read Philippians 3:9? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want to know you, Lord. Yes, to know the power of your resurrection. That's close and personal. And I want to participate in your sufferings and becoming like you in your death. Because let me tell you something. You've got to have that suffering before you can have the power. We all say, yeah, I want that resurrection power. But to receive that resurrection power, you must be willing to suffer and die. Let me read you what happened to the one we follow. We follow Christ. We're called Christians after him. I want to read to you something from a devotional. Oh, beloved one, how many times we forget the cost our Lord paid to buy our redemption. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Do we really let it sink in? We forget the beatings at the house of Caiaphas and the scourging of the Roman soldiers, marred in his form more than any man, leaving him unrecognizable as a human being. That's what Isaiah 52:14 says. I was talking to Elder Joe last night, and he was telling us on his trip, they were listening to this message, this sermon, and he talked about the word excruciating. I guess it's from the Latin. And what it does is describes what Jesus went through and the pain he suffered was greater than any other human being. So they had to come up with a new word, a word that we use from time to time, a new word to describe his suffering, the source of his power and his strength. And that word is spelled excruciating. You say, I know that word. It's excruciating. That's right. A word was created for what Jesus suffered in his power at the resurrection. He was so marred that he was unrecognized as a human being. That's what it says in Isaiah 52:14. Again, I ask you, and I ask myself, do I want the resurrection power of Jesus Christ? This is what it cost. But Jesus paid it all. But if we are to walk in his footsteps, we will all suffer. We will all die. And in that suffering and in that death, there is power. Wonder-working power. We forget that flesh and bone hung by nails on felled tree. We forget that the one who breathed life into man could breathe only as he pushed against the spikes in his feet, as he hung on that cross. And he would push against those spikes to just get himself up to take a breath of air. We forget the incomprehensible horror of beating and bearing the sins of mankind, past, present, and future. Imagine that. All of your sins alone, all of my sins alone, past, present, and future, were horrible enough to lay on his head. Imagine all of humanity from Adam and Eve on. All of the sins of all people from all time, from all nations, were all of a sudden laid on him. Horror. Horrible. And he took it all. And he cried. He cried to his Father. And his father turned his back on him. Imagine that. The one you have been with for all eternity. You're crying out. You're hurting. And he turns his back on you. The person who's closest to you, God the Father, you're God the Son. You were inseparable. And for this moment, he turned and separated himself. You know why he did that? He did that for us. He did that for Earl Williams. You put your name in it. He loved us so. And in that, he experienced the resurrection power and brought us salvation. We forget that our kinsman endured all this and more. Isaiah 53:11 says, that says this and explains why he chose such agony. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify. That means forgive all of the sins of all of the people of all times. And he will bear their iniquities. Who would be willing? Would I be willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? But that's what it's all about. The sufferings, becoming like him in his death. You want to be like Jesus? You want to be like the Lord? I do. I don't want to go through what he went through. I don't want those sufferings. So we need to think twice when we say, well, yeah, I want that resurrection power. You got to get that resurrection suffering and that resurrection death that goes along with it. And we pray that God would bring us to the point that we can experience more of his power and more of his might through suffering, because we are going to suffer. We have been called to suffer. And be able to be a blessing to others. To lay down our lives for others. There's an interesting statement that Jesus made. He said, if a grain of wheat, you know, I'm an agricultural person. I'm an outdoor person. I'm a garden person. He said, if a grain of wheat falls to the ground. I have a bean seed, okay, in my hand, between my fingers. And John records this. I've got it written down somewhere. I can get it to you later. Jesus said, if it falls to the ground, hear that? Can you hear that? That's better. If a bean seed falls to the ground, he was talking about himself and he's talking about us. If a bean seed falls to the ground, all right, and dies, it does not remain alone. He said, what are you talking about? He's talking about us, talking about you and I. We're talking about resurrection power, that we raised our hands, that we wanted, did I lose any folks? And saying, yeah, I want that resurrection power. When it came down to, you got to have that resurrection suffering, that resurrection death. But unless we die, Jesus is comparing himself to a bean seed or any seed. He says, if it doesn't fall to the ground again and die, it remains alone. If I don't plant this seed, this is a bean seed. In probably 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to create a grave. Oh, Pastor, grave? No, it's a row. Okay? It's a row. It's like a grave. I'm going to bury this seed. You know why I'm going to do it? Because if I don't bury it, if it doesn't die, if it doesn't rot, if it doesn't suffer, it will remain alone. But if I plant it and it dies, it begins to rot and it begins to open up from the moisture in the soil, it will bring forth a whole plant with runners, we call them runners, vines, which beans and flowers of the bean flower begin to show. And from that little bean flower, whatever it's called, there are more beans and begin to come forth. And there's life is spread. We say we want the gospel to go to all nations. We want everyone to believe. But is everyone willing to suffer and die so they can be free to believe? Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last. This little kernel will be free. But if it remains alone, if it does not suffer and die, it will remain alone. But if it dies, and many, many others sprout and grow, and it goes on, and it's multiplied. That's what this is about. That's what resurrection power is about, is bringing about others to life by some giving up their lives and being able to live by that resurrection power, that kind of lifestyle. It takes faith. It takes looking to someone who is mightier and more powerful than us. And that is Jesus Christ. And we have seen, I read to you what he's gone through. And he gave his life so that we could have life. And he calls us to give our life through suffering and death to give life to others. Oh, that's what he's called us to do. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to, is a song we're going to sing here in a moment here. The song entitled, Change My Heart, O God. You see, my heart needs to be changed because I don't like to hurt. I don't like to suffer. I need the help of God. And sometimes I get very selfish and I just want to remain that one seat. And that's not what God has called us to do. It's now time to participate in the body and the blood of Jesus. Not literally his bread or his body, not literally his blood. We don't believe that when we drink the wine, it is literally his blood. But spiritually, it is. We are participating in the life of Jesus, in his life, as scripture says, it's in the blood and the bread, because we are part of his body. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's begin a reading in verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. I say, he says in verse 16, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? There's something real here. It's not just a symbolic thing. When we drink of it, we are participating in the blood of Christ in some way. I cannot explain it. It's a mystery. You say, well, if it's a mystery, you shouldn't say it because you don't know itself. No, the Bible says it, so I'm going to say it. We are participating in the blood of Christ. We just talked about how Jesus died for us through his body and through his blood. Now we participate in that. A participation in the body of Christ, the bread. A participating, that's a good tongue twister. I got to work on that. A participation in the body of Christ, the bread. Because there is one body. There's one loaf. That we are united with other believers throughout the world. And there's one loaf. We who are many are one body. And we all partake of that one loaf right now throughout the world. People are participating and they're eating of this one bread. But we have one Lord, one Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you to bless this bread as we participate in your body, the body that suffered more than anyone. And thank you, Lord, that we're not going to have to suffer the way you suffered, but we will suffer. And we thank you for the calling. We thank you for giving your body. We ask you to bless the bread in that sense. And we ask you to bless this wine that points us to your blood that was poured out for us. Thank you that you gave your life so that we all could have life, those who believe in you. And Father, if there are those that are in the hearing of our voice today, we pray that they would put their faith in the true bread, Jesus Christ, and be cleansed by the true wine, the blood of Jesus, your blood, Jesus. We ask you to bless us in that way, Lord. Thank you for your body and blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we're going to, as we eat and drink, let's pray. I want to be more like you. Let this be our prayer. I want to be more like you.
I want.